אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Hello everyone, my name is Dr. Eyal Meroz from the University of Sydney, Department of Peace and Conflict Studies, and I'm happy to be here today.
Dr. Eyal Meroz, today when I'm recording the interview is the 2nd of July. Yesterday, 1st of July, was the day that Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was planning to begin annexing parts of the West Bank, talking about as much as 30% of the West Bank, and he was under pressure from political parties and settler groups to do that. It didn't happen yet. Why?
Well, I think the initial idea behind the annexation plan was to gain a broad support within the American public, American administration and the opposition in the US, among the Israeli public and within the Israeli government. And that did not happen. Various reasons, some of them or many of them relate to the coronavirus that took hold of the international agenda, of the Israeli agenda, of the American, and so on. Also unforeseen, or let's call it an international condemnation and rejection of the plan that was expected but unforeseen, I think, in its strength. Objection, vocal objection from the Gulf states that Israel has a strong interest in maintaining a kind of budding relationship with. Strong objection from Jordan that Israel holds as a very important ally. And so this combination has led to, change of the vision behind how much Israel or the Netanyahu government can gain from going full speed ahead with the annexation. This is not to say that there will be no annexation, but certainly the incentives are not as strong as initially envisaged.
So what was the plan?
The plan was to follow up on Trump's so-called deal of the century, put the Palestinians in a tight spot where if they don't agree to go back to negotiations, then Israel, based on the plan, is allowed to take unilateral steps, including annexing part of the West Bank. The focus on parts of the West Bank that, based on this plan, are meant to end up in Israel, under Israeli jurisdiction.
And what's the reaction in Israel? How is the public in Israel reacting to this plan?
I think we are only seeing the beginning of a serious discussion, not even a serious one, with the coming of July 1st. Up until now, the Israeli public was broadly disinterested, except for maybe settlers, focused very much on coronavirus, on economics, and so on. And so there is a budding discussion. I think the Israeli military establishment has been vocal as one of the only actors being interested in the debate, mostly, largely against the annexation for various reasons, and mainly in relation to reactions in the world and the situation, as I mentioned, with the Arab states. By far, most of the public has remained on the sidelines, or even engaging with the question.
That's I found very interesting, because I found the public in Israel, as you know, I read the newspapers every day and I'm in touch with Israel every day, and I found the public is absolutely indifferent. The only thing that surprised me was that some settlers supported the plan and some settlers were against it.
I think Netanyahu kind of miscalculated on this issue, because he was hoping for a very broad support, shoring up his base ahead of the long corruption trial and so on. And I don't think he foresaw what was to happen within the settler movement, that so many settlers come strongly against the plan, obviously from the right side, meaning they're saying that it's all good and well with the annexation, but we are not willing to put up with any reciprocal acknowledgement of the right to the establishment of a Palestinian state, which is included in the Trump plan.
So they were happy with annexation, of especially if they live under in those territories, but they didn't like the second part of the peace plan, and that is a Palestinian state.
Yes, exactly.
And what is the American perspective now?
I think the bipolar that characterizes the U.S. These days lends itself to the question of the annexation. In other words, the Democrats are staunchly objecting. Almost 200 Democrats from the Congress have signed a letter denouncing the plan, whereas the Republicans are largely, and again, a large number of congressmen and women have signed a letter, an opposing letter supporting the plan. However, if we're talking about the Jewish constituencies in the U.S., then close to 80% of the Jews are on the liberal side, and so I think there is quite a strong rejection of the plan by many prominent Jewish organizations and Jewish thinkers.
Can you explain the rejection?
Well, there's various reasons, obviously, but I think for some of them it's the perception that the plan as it stands, the annexation plan as it stands, is a kind of the last nail in the coffin of the two-state solution, and many in America are supportive of that. But on the other hand, I think that in America there is a very strong tradition of civil right and political right, and the very idea of a situation where Palestinians are being left without land or with only partial land, but on the other hand without any citizenship right, is not going to sound very good to the, you know, to most Americans. It's a combination of the two. I'm not saying that the issue is getting a lot of coverage in the U.S., because it's not, for the same reasons. But if Americans are to think about it, I'm afraid that a unilateral annexation is going to continue the reducing of American support to Israel.
And what's the reaction on the Palestinian side?
Again, this is very interesting. The Palestinians are quite tired after so many decades of fighting and human rights issues and so on. I think I was a bit surprised to hear is that there's a relatively high number of Palestinians saying, well, we don't like the status quo. Let's think about maybe not accepting the unilateral annexation, but taking it as it's happening. What do we do now? And maybe this will bring us a bit more prosperity economically. Maybe if we become part of Israel, then in the long run we may end up having a stronger say about our future in terms of self-determination. On the other hand, we can see also some voices, mainly among the young Palestinians, who are saying more than in the past that the violent reaction and back to armed struggle might be a way to fight the annexations. So it is unclear what the Palestinians are going to do. I think they've given up largely on the world. They've given up largely on the Arab world as well in terms of genuinely supporting them. And so at least in the West Bank, it is unclear. There will be some reactions, but how strong, how violent, it is unclear. Hamas, on one hand, in Gaza, doesn't have the interest to go into full-scale war, but on the other hand, cannot avoid some kind of military action. So we are going to see something there as well, if the annexation does go ahead, which is unclear.
We're talking to Dr. Eyal Meroz from the University of Sydney Peace and Conflict Studies. Dr. Meroz is a former Israeli counterterrorism intelligence specialist. And you're listening to SBS Shalom Australia with Nitza Lowenstein.
If I can just say also, just welcome the decision just the last couple of days ago by the Australian government, both the government and the opposition, in voicing their concerns. In the case of the opposition, rejection of the annexation plan, I think Australia has taken the right approach in joining the rest of the world in professing their concerns about the annexation.
Dr. Eyal Meroz, thank you so much.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.